Amen. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. But whence cometh my help? My help, your help, our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just a couple of reminders this morning as we prepare. We will, our message will come from the book of Ruth this morning. The book of Ruth, we will be in the fourth chapter of Ruth on today. We will start with verse number 1 there in Ruth chapter 4. We will go over to Luke chapter 3 as well on today. Look at verse 23 and then look at verses 31 through 32 on this morning. Our message today is entitled, God Orchestrating Redemption Through the Birth of King Jesus. God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. So that is the message title we will work from on today. As we look at Ruth chapter 4, or look at the book of Ruth, and as we take a look at Luke chapter 3 this morning, as we look at this topic, God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. Also, a reminder, we will administer the Lord's Supper on today. We ask if you would please go ahead, if you have not prepared your elements, please go ahead and do that. We want to give you about a minute to make sure you have everything in place as we prepare to go to the Lord's table on today. Also, please keep in mind, keep Sister Ruby lifted, Sister Ruby Dudley, as well as Sister Ruby Clayton. Sister Ruby informed me this morning that she is still in no pain. She had surgery probably maybe about a week, almost a week ago, and doing well on today. And we thank her for all that she do to continue to keep us going pressing us to continue to persevere both on Sundays as well as in Tuesday Bible, walk in the Word, as well as our Thursday and our Friday sessions that we have here in Macon. So just want to thank all of you for what you do. All of you are so important to this ministry. You are a major part of this ministry in terms of you coming, reading, singing, leading in prayer, reading scripture, providing feedback, and just you being on the line. It makes a difference to us as we move forward in ministry, doing what God has called us to do, carrying out the mandate of Matthew 28, 19 through 20, as we teach, and most of all, as we lead by example in speech, as well as in our conduct, the way in which we live, the way in which we love, the way in which we walk in integrity. So that is so important as citizens of the kingdom of God, as ambassadors of God. We are representatives. We are representatives of God. And people should see him in us. No matter where we go, they should see Christ Jesus in us as ambassadors, as kings, because we don't represent ourselves. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Also, reminder, as we prepare for this evening, we do have a speaker. I'm assuming, Sister Ruby, we have a speaker for tonight. Do we want to go ahead and announce that? Because once we finish our Lord's Supper, then we will press forward today. Any update on our guest tonight?
Pastor Reginald Kiefer.
Amen, amen. If you have not heard Pastor Reggie, you all, you need to come and hear him this evening to encourage him. He is certainly one who has been walking with us, and certainly we consider him a brother in the ministry with us. So please come back and let's support Pastor Reggie. We call him Professor Reggie in our session this evening. Amen. And also this evening, we will administer the Lord's Supper, and we will have something else that we will share on this evening for those that are going through Advent. We want to share some information on the Advent, the season that we are in this evening. So we ask if you would please, we may send something out today to get us prepared for this evening. If there is nothing else, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning as we prepare looking at Ruth chapter 4 on today and then going over to Luke chapter 3. We're going to go ahead and open up this morning. Is Brother Everett on the line today? I want to ask that before we get started. Is he on the line this morning? Brother Everett. Amen, amen. We're going to go ahead and open with our opening scripture again. I want to say good morning to each of you that are joining us here at the Gathering Place Beyond the Wall, located here in Macon, Georgia, with your facilitator, Minister Deborah Singleton. Opening this morning with our scripture from Psalm 100, a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout praises to the Lord, everyone on this earth. Be joyful and sing as you come in to worship the Lord. You know the Lord is God. He created us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Be thankful and praise the Lord as you enter his temple. The Lord is good. His love and faithfulness will last forever. I've read Psalm 100 in our hearing this morning, a psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving. But it's a psalm that gives us instructions this morning, instructions on how we need to come before the Lord, what our attitude should be, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude that has joy filled with it, an attitude to come and worship him. And why? Why should we worship him? Because he is the one that made us, created us, and we belong to him. And because we are the sheep of his pasture, this psalm reassures me and lets me know that my God will provide, my God will protect, and my God will continue to love me until the end. Good morning, family. Good morning. Sister Ruby, if you would, lead us in prayer this morning. And after our prayer, we will have the reading of the scripture from Ruth chapter 4. Thank you.
Our Father, Lord God, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. Lord, we come this morning thanking you for this another day that you have allowed us to see. Lord, we thank you that you watched over us last night as we slumbered and slept. Lord, we thank you that you touched us this morning with your finger of love and our eyes came open. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we come right now in the name of Jesus, asking that you forgive us for all our sins, God. We ask that you create in us a clean heart, Lord. We ask that you renew the right spirit within us, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you order our steps this day, that you will lead and guide us every step of the way, Lord God, because we don't know what way to go, which way to go, and how to go. But if you will continue to walk with us, talk with us, lead us, we know everything is going to be all right. Lord God, some of us come this morning with broken hearts. Some of us come this morning with sickness, Lord God. But, Lord, you are the great healer. You are the great I am. So we thank you this morning. Lord God, some of us come with memories, God. But I know if you brought me to it, you're going to bring me through it. So I'm grateful this morning. Lord, I just lift up every household on this line this morning. You know what they're standing in need of. I ask that you meet their needs this morning, God. Lord God, I ask that you just protect them all during this day. Keep them from any hurt, harm, or danger. I lift that Minister Singleton to you this morning, God. Thank you for her willingness to continue to come week after week after week, teaching us your people. Lord God, we ask that you bless her with her heart's desire. We ask that you encamp your angels all around that household. We lift up Mother Neal. We thank you that Mother Neal saw another birthday, God. We thank you for those years that you've allowed her to be on this earth. We lift up Uncle John, God. We ask that you continue to heal his body. We lift up his wife, Lord God. Touch her, Lord God, like only you can. Lord God, we lift up Sister Wembley and camp your angels all around her. Then, God, I lift up every preacher that comes on this line to bless us week after week. You know what their needs are. You know what their heart desires. I thank you, God, for everybody that's on this line, for those that wanted to come but couldn't come for whatever reason. Lord God, just have your way in this service today. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, Lord, we just thank you right now for Sister Ruby. We thank you, God, for the memories that she is remembering on today. We thank you, God, that you would let her know that you know and that you are a comforter, that you are one that will strengthen her, one that will continue to keep her, one that will continue to be her provider and be her protector. Lord, we thank you, oh God. We thank you how she reflects back on the memories that she is experiencing on today. And let her know, God, that you are with her and you promised her that you would never leave her or forsake her. Even those that their loved ones that have transitioned, loved ones that have been promoted, oh God, that you are still with her and you're not going to leave her and you are going to continue to be her keeper. We thank you for it, not only for Sister Ruby, but for others on the line on today, those that are going through the corridors of time, through this journey, oh God, letting them know that you are God and that you are a mighty God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God who continues to be our keeper. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning again. Now we're going to have the reading of the scripture this morning coming from Ruth chapter 4. It is going to be read by our sister, Sister Wanda, this morning. As Sister Wanda reads this scripture, I'm going to ask if you would please take your pen and take your paper this morning and jot down some thoughts or some phrases of something that you hear as she reads this familiar scripture, very familiar scripture that we have heard. We have heard it in various ceremonies, especially from the Book of Ruth, marriage ceremonies as well. So I want us to, as she reads chapter 4 this morning, I want us to just jot down, what is it that you hear? What is God saying to you that we need to do in this season, in terms of caring and sharing the message of Jesus Christ? My sister, Sister Wanda.
Good morning, good morning. I'm going to read it from the CEV version, and it reads as follows. In the meanwhile, Boaz had gone to the meeting place at the town gate and was sitting there when the other close relatives came by. So Boaz invited him to come over and sit down, and he did. Then Boaz got 10 of the town leaders and also asked them to sit down. After they sat down, he said to the man, Naomi has come back from Moab and she is selling the land that belonged to her husband, Elimelech. I'm telling you about this since you are the closest relative to have the right to buy the property. If you want it, you can buy it now. These 10 men and the others standing here can be witnesses. But if you don't want the property, let me know because I am next in line. The man replied, I'll buy it. If you buy it from Naomi, Boaz told him, you must also marry Ruth. And if you have a son by her, the property will stay in the family of Ruth's first husband. The man answered, if that's the case, I don't want to buy it. That would make problems with the property I already own. You may buy it yourself because I cannot. To make a sale legal in those days, one person would take off a and give it to the other. So after the man had agreed to let Boaz buy the property, he took off one of his sandals and handed it to Boaz. Boaz told the town leaders and everyone else, all of you are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi the property that belongs to Elimelech and his two sons, Chilion and Mahalon. You are also witnesses that I have agreed to marry Mahlon's widow Ruth, the Moabite woman. This will keep the property in his family's name, and he will be remembered in this town. The town leaders and the others standing there said, we are witnesses to this, and we pray that the Lord would give your wife many children, just as he did Leah and Rachel, the wives of Jacob. May you be a rich man in the tribe of Ephraim and an important man in Bethlehem. May the children you have with this young woman make your family as famous as the family of Perez, the son of Tamar, and Judah. Boaz married Ruth, and the Lord blessed her with a son. After his birth, the woman said to Naomi, praise the Lord, today he has given you a grandson to take care of you. We pray that the boy will grow up to be famous everywhere in Israel. He will make you happy and take care of you in old age, because he is the son of your daughter-in-law, and he loves you more than seven sons of your own would love you. Naomi loved the boy and took good care of him. The neighborhood women named him Obed because they called him Naomi's boy. When Obed grew up, he had a son named Jesse, and he later became the father of King David. And I'm going to read from Luke chapter 3, verses 43 and verses 31 to 32. C-version. Chapter 3, verses 23. When Jesus began to preach, he was about 30 years old. Everyone thought he was the son of Joseph, but his family went back from Eli, Nathan, Levi, Melchizedek, Janiah, Joseph, Matthew, Amos, Nahum, Isla, Magia, Ned, Matthias, Sima, Josie, and Jodah. Verses 31. Mila, Mina, Matthew, Nathan, David, Jesse, Obed, Boaz, Salmon, Nation, and Nation. Okay, I think that's it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Great job this morning. Thank you so much for reading our scriptures this morning, my sister, and working your way through those names this morning, which is a part of the ancestry of Jesus. Awesome job this morning as we started in Ruth chapter 4, and then we went over to Luke chapter 3, looking at verses 23 and then 31 through 32. What I want us to highlight in Luke chapter 3, 23 and 31 through 32 is I want us to highlight in verse number 32 where we see the name Obed and the name Boaz. Obed and Boaz, which will be two names that we will talk about this morning. We see them in Ruth chapter 4. As a matter of fact, we see them in the book of Ruth. We see them here in Luke chapter 3, which points to them being a part of the ancestry, the lineage of Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about, God orchestrating the redemption through the birth of King Jesus. And this provides to us the lineage, the ancestry. Yes, many of the names may seem to be hard to pronounce or difficult to pronounce, but each person in that lineage was of value. There was no one that was considered common as we look at the lineage, the ancestry of Jesus. And we see people in this ancestry, in his lineage,
that were, we might say, were ordinary people, people who had faults, people who had flaws, people who had this or that. But what we will see today is we will see God being inclusive, seeing God's inclusive plan of salvation, of redemption, outside of whether of outside of your social status, outside of your gender, outside of your ethnic group. We will see today that there is no barrier to us being kingdom citizens, being offered the opportunity to be ambassadors of Christ. Amen. Thank you again, my sister, for walking us through this and working us way our way through the scripture this morning. Amen. Now we are going to have our praise and worship by Brother Al this morning. Then we are going to come back and look at what is God saying to us as disciples in this season as he shows us, as he presents to us God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. Amen. Brother Al.
If it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? Because he kept my enemies away. He turned the sunlight to a cloudy day. He wrapped me in the cradle of his arms. When he knew I'd been battered and torn, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? He left my enemies alone. He gave me peace and joy when I never known. He answered when I kneeled to him in prayer. And in victory he's brought me this way. So if I had not been for the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? Where would I be if it had not been for the Lord on my side? Tell me, where would I be? Where would I be? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Al, we just thank you so much for bringing us our praise and worship each Sunday. And we just so thankful for what you do for this ministry. Even though you may be long distance, it's as though you're just sitting right here with us in Georgia, right in our presence. And I'm so glad and I'm thankful to technology, which makes this such a opportunity, opening doors for us all over, no matter where one is located, to be able to dial in and be a part of our session.
This morning, as I mentioned to you earlier, we want to set the stage on today as we look at God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. The first scripture this morning I want to give to those that are listening is John 3:16. When we look at John 3:16, it speaks about the love that God has for us. I'm going to read that scripture in our hearing this morning from the CEV today, because it begins to set the stage for looking at God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. When we look at it from the CEV, John 3:16, God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only son so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. Verse 17 says, God did not send his son into the world to condemn his people. He sent him to save them. Notice purpose here this morning. God orchestrating the redemption through the birth of King Jesus. When we look at John 3:16, yes, we see the love of God. Go with me over to 1 Peter this morning as we continue to lay the tracks for our study of the next couple of 4 or 5 lessons for the winter quarter. When we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, Sister Ruby, beginning with verse number 18, it reads, you were rescued from the useless way of life that you learned from your ancestors. But you know that you were not rescued by such things as silver or gold that don't last forever. You were rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that spotless and innocent lamb. Christ was chosen even before the world was created. But because of you, he did not come until these last days. Look at verse 21. And when he did come, it was to lead you to have faith in God, who raised him from death and honored him in a glorious way. That's why you have put your faith and hope in God. Again, God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. And yes, when we look into the word, we go over and we look in Isaiah this morning, and go with me there. Look in Isaiah chapter number 61. Just laying the tracks this morning as we look at why did he come? Why did he come? Why did God send his only begotten son from heaven to earth? And then we will turn the pages and look at his ancestry. How did he get here? Because he had a body, and that body was the body in which God had given to him. But just look at why did he come. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. Sister Ruby, look at verse number 1. The Spirit of the Lord God has taken control of me. The Lord has chosen and sent me to tell the oppressed the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, and to announce freedom for prisoners and captives. This is the year when the Lord God will show kindness to us and punish our enemies. The Lord has sent me to comfort those who mourn, especially in Jerusalem. He sent me to give them flowers in place of their sorrow, olive oil in place of tears, and joyous praise in place of broken hearts. They will be called trees of justice, planted by the Lord to honor his name. Then they will rebuild cities that have been in ruins and many generations. So when we look at God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus, we see God loving us so much that he sent his only begotten son. We see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, Brother Al, God's rescue plan. We see here in Isaiah 61, looking at verses 1 through number for this morning, as we look at the Spirit of the Lord God has taken control and that the Lord has chosen. And notice what the purpose is: to tell the oppressed the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, and to announce freedom to prisoners and captives. God sends his son Jesus on purpose from heaven to earth. What else do we see this morning as we continue to go through the Word of God, setting it up before we get over into that wonderful chapter of Ruth that we all love? Go with me to Galatians chapter 4, Mother Neal, looking at verses 1 through 7, but I'm going to start at verse number 4 if you're taking notes. Read the whole passage 1 through 7 there of those verses. Let me show you something here in verse number 4. But when the time was right, God sent his son, and a woman gave birth to him. His son obeyed the law so he could set us free from the law, and we could become God's children. Now notice this, Uncle John, verse number 6. Now that we are his children, God has sent the Spirit, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, of his son into our hearts. And his Spirit tells us that God is our Father. You are no longer slaves. You are God's children, and you will be given what he has promised. I just want to set the stage this morning of God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus, the one that he sent that would bring us back into right standing with him. Brother Al, not only seeing these scriptures from John 3:16, 1 Peter 1:18 through 21, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and then looking at Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But I see something as to someone may ask the question, why did Jesus come? Why did he come? When we go back to the book of beginnings, going back just to Genesis, when we look at Genesis 1, we see that the story of the creation. In Genesis 1, we see the sixth day, the creation of man. And then when we go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, we see the instructions that was given to man not to eat from the tree of good and evil. And then we go to Genesis chapter 3, Sister JJ, where we see the first sin. We see where man and woe man did what God told them not to do. That brought in sin. That brought in a misstep. That brought in not following the direction, walking in obedience. And when that came in, Mother Cora, we see in Genesis chapter 3. I want you to write these scriptures down. Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 15. Why did he come? And him coming, God did not just say, I'm going to just set you down there. I'm going to send you from heaven to earth. Earth in the form, he said, I'm going to give, he gives him a body to come, but notice he came and he went through the process that we go through, that process of being born, that process of being placed in the womb, the process. We know that he was put in the womb of a virgin by the name of Mary.
We know this, and I'm setting the stage this morning for us to understand why did he come, and notice it, and looking at his lineage, the ancestry in terms of how did he come, who was a part of his family tree. Many of us have done the ancestry.com or looking at our family tree, going back, Sister Ruben, seeing who we are related to, seeing who we may be a part of. Are we related to this person? Are we related to, is our ancestry lineage back to Africa? Is it, are we part this? Are we part that? When we look at the family tree, the spiritual, when we look at the family tree of Jesus, we are going to see some unusual characters, people that the world will say, I don't understand how they got there. I don't understand how could they even be there. But I love God this morning. I love him that we serve a God that is inclusive. Yeah. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3:15. Notice this, when after they had committed the sin, Sister Ruby, after they had misstepped, after they had done what God told them not to do, then God, notice God, he issues out and he gives them, here's what's going to happen. But when I look at verse number 15, it says, so the Lord God said to the snake, because of what you've done, you will be the only animal to suffer this curse. For as long as you live, you will crawl on your stomach and eat dirt. But look at verse 15. You and this woman will hate each other. Your descendants and hers will always be enemies. One of hers will strike you on the head, and you will strike him on the heel. The coming of Jesus had already been set in place by God before the foundation of the world. Notice what it says. It says that hers will strike your head. And we know when you hit the head of the snake, that's where you're killing at. You're striking there. Notice this, God has already said what the outcome of the enemy will be. But notice this, it talks about when he comes, it says, you and this woman will hate each other. Your descendants and hers will always be enemies. The enemy that we have, the devil, Satan, but many times we can be our own worst enemy. I'm putting that there, put a P in there. So as we look at God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus, we see why did he come. Pastor Reggie, we see the relationship broken between man and God. And this brought Jesus to earth. Yes, as I said, before the foundation of the world, it was already set in place. The other thing that when Jesus came, he came, you all, not as a baby, but he came to reign as king. Yes, R-E-I-G-N. He reigns, you all, as king. Let me give you a scripture there. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, it says right here, a child has been born for us. We have been given a son who will be our ruler. His names will be Wonderful Advisor and Mighty God, Eternal Father and Prince of Peace. His power will never end. Peace will last forever. He will rule David's kingdom and make it grow strong. He will always rule with honesty and justice. The Lord All-Powerful will make certain that all of this is done. Yes, this child that is born, he was born king. He comes, he reigns as king, Isaiah chapter 9. The other thing is that he came to give his life a ransom for many. We see that in Mark chapter 10, verse number 45.
The third thing, he came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, verse number 5 and verses 9 through 10. He came to preach the good news, the good news, and that's what he did as long as he was here walking here on earth, Luke 4 and 43. So when we look at it, before we go into looking at Ruth chapter 4, looking at the ancestry of Jesus, I want us to understand and see how God orchestrated the redemption of man through the birth of King Jesus, him coming as king. God showing us a love through John 3:16. God giving us the rescue plan through 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21. God letting us know that we are now children of God, those that receive the plan of salvation, those that receive the good news, those that make the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration. We are now citizens of the kingdom of God. We are now ambassadors of God. So when we turn, Sister Wanda, and open up, we see something here. We see in this lesson this morning, we see some kingdom principles, ways to live as kingdom citizens. We see that God can use any vessel he desires to use. He shows us that in this lesson on this morning. Something else I want to share with you, not only looking at why Jesus came, but we see something in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17. We see Jesus coming down through 42 generations. We see that. We see him. We see his ancestry when we go there over to Matthew chapter 1. And when we look at all of those names, Sister Wanda, we see names that are there, names that we are not familiar with. But as we go back, and we're going to go back, and we're going to look at those names and begin to highlight some of those names in a later study, in a later presentation on who some of these people were. But we see here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, we begin to see him coming through these 42 generations. We see that Jesus' genealogy is distinct. There were five women that are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. We see the woman by the name of Tamar. We see Rahab. We see Ruth, who we'll talk about this morning. We see Bathsheba, and we see Mary. We also can see Jesus' genealogy, not just in Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, but we can see his genealogy. We can see his family tree in Luke chapter 3, verses 23 through 38. In both of these passages, we see the names of Boaz, and we see the name of Obed. And we see the name of Jesse. Yes, we see the name of David. But we are pointing out this morning because these are two names that we will see in Ruth chapter number 4. As we look at this passage of scripture, looking at Sister JJ, the ancestry, the lineage of Jesus, we're going to see something that's going to stare at us this morning. We're going to see in this lesson, not only is God inclusive, that all is invited to come, all are welcome. We shall also see that God is not looking at one's social status, one's gender, one ethnic group, that there is no barrier to us being a part of the kingdom of God. There's no barrier to us being kingdom citizens because he has made and given us the opportunity to be saved, Romans 10, 9, and 10. He's also given us power to be able to live the life that he's called us to live, Acts 2:38. For he has said in there he will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. What else has he given us, Deborah, so that we can live this life, this redemptive life, the life of regeneration, the life of being born again? He has given us the textbook, and that textbook is the Word of God. You all know when we were in school, Brother Al, for us to do well in school, we had to read the textbook. We had to absorb the information. We had to not only get a knowledge of the information, we had to get an understanding of the information. And when they gave us the test, we had to demonstrate whether or not we had consumed the information so that we could regurgitate and give it back to the teacher. So when we look in the Word this morning, we see some kingdom principles. We see some things to walk by, Sister Wanda. Sister Wanda, I'm just going to share a few things from this scripture in Ruth chapter number 4. But before I do that, I want to give us a little bit of background on the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth was written to the Israelites during the chaotic period of the Judges. There is no author that is named for this particular book, but the tradition credits the prophet Samuel as its composer. It says that it was composed between 1011 and 931 B.C. The story, when we look at Ruth, it sets against the backdrop of the Gentile country of Moab. And the book records a memorable account of love, human love and devotion, and God's rewarding kindness by extending mercy to those who demonstrate compassion towards others. When we look in this book, the book of Ruth, we notice that it opens up with a man by the name of Elimelech. And it speaks to him, and he has a wife, Naomi, and he has two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And it talks about them leaving their home, leaving Bethlehem, the house of bread, to go to another place to live. That they go to that place because there was famine there in the land. And so the father, Elimelech, decides to leave and go to a place called Moab. Now, Moab were enemies to the Israelites. You did not see a mixing of the two. But Elimelech goes to Moab, and you all know this, many of you know the story, that when they get there, Naomi goes with her husband, goes with two sons, but they get there and they spend a period of time there. Naomi loses her husband. And then she loses her two sons. They all three pass away. But before the two boys passed away, they married two women, two Moabite women. Now keep this in mind now. They are not Israelite women. They are Moabite women. They are women that serve and worship pagans. Oh, listen to me this morning. And notice this, Naomi decides to go back home. She gets word that things have changed there, and she decides to go home. But as she gets ready to go home, her two daughter-in-laws follow her for a distance. Naomi turns and says to both of them, saying, look, you go on back. Go back to your people. And, because you're young, the age you're at, you're young, and you know what? You are able to marry again and be productive again. Yes, one of her daughter-in-laws decides that after much contemplating, thinking about it, she goes back. But then she has one by the name of Ruth. Ruth says, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. As a matter of fact, I want you to stop telling me to go back because I made up my mind that I'm going to go with you. I'm going to make your God is going to be my God. And wherever you live, that's where I'm going to live. Your people are going to be my people. And Ruth went on to say in verse 17 in chapter number 1, I will die where you die. I'll be buried beside you. And may the Lord punish me if we are ever separated even by death. Now, notice Ruth's commitment to her mother-in-law. So they both now get ready to go back to Bethlehem. And because Naomi feels that she is in such a predicament because she lost
her provider. She lost her husband. She lost her sons. And Reuben, when she gets back, they get to Bethlehem, and the women of the city, they see her, and they ask the question, "Can this really be Naomi? Can this be Naomi?" Naomi said, "Because of my situation, don't call me Naomi any longer. Call me Myra." We see that in verse number 20 in chapter number 1. "Because God has made my life bitter. I had everything when I left y'all, but the Lord has brought me back with nothing. How can you still call me Naomi when God has turned against me and made my life so hard?" But here's the thing. I want to say something this morning. Naomi, as you get and you look in chapter 4, we see that even in chapter 4 it says Naomi was blessed by having Ruth, because Ruth was better than having 7 sons. Oh, Naomi didn't realize what she had. Naomi didn't realize she was covered with grief. And that's what grief would do to us. We can't see the blessing on the other side. We can't see the step in front of us, Uncle John, because grief had taken her, because she was looking at what she had in terms of a husband, in terms of a son, and all of this. But God's showing us something this morning in Ruth chapter number 4. Hold on this morning. So then we see that when they go back and Ruth realized she goes to work, and Ruth was industrious, you all. She was industrious. She wasn't a lazy woman, and she goes to work. She goes to work in a field by a man who owned the field. The man was named Boaz. They were related to him. As a matter of fact, she didn't know it, but they were related. And we're going to see how Boaz becomes the kinsman redeemer this morning. I want to remind us this morning that we have a kinsman redeemer by the name of Jesus. But as we look at this passage, what we are going to is seeing how Jesus came through Ruth being a part of the lineage of Jesus, her son being a part of the lineage of Jesus. Notice this. So the story, I'm going to speed ahead this morning, where Naomi makes plans for Ruth and telling Ruth about Boaz and him being a kinsman redeemer. They call it a guardian redeemer. And during that time, Pastor Reggie, there was something called if a man died and he did not have any children, and he was married and didn't have children, it was a part of it that the brother would come and marry his wife. It was the sister-in-law marrying the brother, so that the lineage of that young man would continue on. Her husband's lineage would continue on. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. So we see Naomi making plans for Ruth, how she tells her how she's going to go into Boaz, and how the conversation is going to be extended between the two, and how Boaz is going to tell Ruth that he is going to take care of the matter. He is going to make sure that everything is going to be all right. Look at verse number 13 in chapter 3. Verse 13 in chapter number 3. "Stay here until morning, then I will find out if he is willing to look after you. If he isn't, I promise by the living God to do it myself. Now go back to sleep until morning." What Boaz is telling Ruth is this, is that you have a kinsman redeemer. You have a relative that is closer than me. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to approach him, and I'm going to tell him that he is responsible for taking you and Naomi, your mother-in-law. He is responsible for caring for you all as well as buying the property. Look at how this works out this morning. And Boaz saying, "Yes, I will make sure everything is all right." So when Ruth gets back and tells Naomi this, Naomi says in verse 18, Naomi replied, "Just be patient and don't worry about what will happen. He won't rest," that means Boaz, "until everything is settled today." So when we get to verse chapter number 4,
Now, here it is, Ruth, a Moabite woman, Naomi, Boaz, and the unnamed, because we don't know his name, of the kinsman redeemer, the one responsible for taking care of Ruth, Naomi, and purchasing the property. So it will stay in the family. And this kinsman redeemer, realizing that at first he said, you all saw it in the lesson, he said, I will take the property, I'll buy it. But when Boaz told him that, no, you can buy the property, but you got to take Ruth to be your wife, a Moabite woman, that's when he backed out or willing to do it. Notice, look, let's start chapter 4. In the meantime, Boaz had gone to the meeting place at the town gate and was sitting there when the other close relative came by. Here now is the interaction. Here is Boaz doing what he told Ruth that he would do. I will handle this. I will take care of it. So here it is. Boaz has invited the nearest kin to the gate. This is where they did business at. They did business at the gate. And so the kinsman redeemer, the closest kin, comes. And Boaz, I want us to write this down this morning. Not only is God inclusive, not only, Mother Neal, God welcomes all, he invites all to come and be a part of the kingdom. Not only does he not look at social class, gender, and ethnic group, and there's no barrier, but notice Boaz. I want us to notice the characteristics of Boaz. Boaz shows us this morning sacrifice. Write that word down. He shows us sacrifice. He shows us something else. He shows us humility. Pastor Reggie, he shows us something else. He shows us transparency. Notice Boaz, he does not try to undermine the relative. He doesn't try to slip something in on him. Here's the reason why I can say that. He brought at the gate, not just him and the kinsman redeemer meeting, but there were witnesses that were there, witnesses to observe the transaction that was going on. Yes. Why do you say that, Minister Deborah? I see it. It says, Boaz invited him to come over, sit down, and he did. Then Boaz got 10 of the town leaders, right there in verse number 2, and also asked them to sit down. And after they sat down, here's Boaz having the conversation with the man, which you can see in verse number 3 through 4. Then the man, again, as I said earlier, said, I'll buy it. And then Boaz comes back and says, okay, then if you buy it, you got to not only take the property, but you got to marry Ruth. And then what does the man respond, Sister Wanda? He responds, he says, now, I can't do that. Because if I do that, it's going to cause a problem in my family. It's going to cause a problem. And here's the thing. I can't do it. So what does Boaz do? Boaz does the very thing that Jesus did for us. He became that kinsman, that guardian redeemer. He said, I'll go. He paid a debt that I owed that I could not pay. He became my guardian redeemer. And we see Boaz became the guardian redeemer for Naomi and Ruth. What else do I get from this lesson? Not only do I see the sacrifice Boaz was willing to make, not only do I see the integrity that this man had, not only do I see the transparency that this man had, but I saw him willing to marry an outsider. His willingness to sacrifice, his willing to give of going in his own pocket, and his willing not only to buy the property, but to marry an outsider. Ruth was a Moabite. The Moabites were worshipers of pagans. But we know that Ruth changed because what did she tell Naomi? Your God should be my God. Your people shall be my people.
So notice this, but notice Boaz. Notice his transparency. Notice his willing to sacrifice. Notice his humility. But he was a man, you all, of integrity. We have to be men and women of integrity as a part of the kingdom of God. That's a part of it. We said we are walking in obedience. We are walking by the Spirit, Mother Cora. And I noticed something about Boaz's character. His character was one, here's another thing, a character of compassion. He had a character of generosity, because if you go back and read the earlier chapter in Ruth, we see where Boaz saw her, and he asked them to give her what? A little bit of extra. Even when she left his house that night in chapter 3, he put something in her apron for her to carry home. Oh, we as kingdom citizens, how should our character be? Shouldn't we have character of integrity? Shouldn't we have characters of generosity? Shouldn't we be one who's willing to make a sacrifice? Let's keep going this morning. Here's something else I see about the ancestry of Jesus. What I see not only God being inclusive, Uncle John, but I see an extension of God's grace being extended to all. How do you see that, Deborah? I see it as grace being extended to the Moabite woman, Ruth. I see the plan of redemption being extended to all. What else do you see? I see God's love for me in that I owe a debt that I could not pay. And he sent a kinsman redeemer by the name of Jesus to pay the debt that I owed. Now, once he paid the debt, Brother Al, I did not become a slave, but I became a daughter to the king. You became a son to the king. We all became God's children. Notice this. When Jesus redeemed us, we did not become a slave, but a daughter or a son to the king. Let me show you something else I saw in the lesson this morning Sister Wanda was reading. The love of God, Sister JJ, provides redemption to all people. The love of God, John 3:16, provides redemption to all people. We see in this lesson this morning, God keeping his promise with David. God promised David and Israel that the Messiah, Jesus Christ, will come from the lineage of David and the tribe of Judah and would establish a kingdom that would endure how long? Forever. We see this through the lineage of King David linking him to Boaz and to Ruth. We see it because with Obed, who was the child of Ruth and Boaz, became the father of who? We see Jesse. Jesse was the father of who? David. And God has said that Jesus, King Jesus, will come through the lineage of David. Here's how he came. That's why I set it up this morning. I want us to understand here is how he came. And some people look at it and say, well, you mean that a Moabite woman is a part of the lineage of Jesus? You mean a prostitute, Rahab, is a part of the lineage, the ancestry of Jesus? You mean a man that had another man killed is a part of the lineage of Jesus? Oh, this morning it makes us think that we can't walk by people and not share the plan of salvation with them. That's why he's telling us this morning that God is inclusive, meaning all is invited, all are welcome. Doesn't matter your social status. Doesn't matter whether you have a house, no house, car, no car, a bank account, no bank account. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female, Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter your ethnic group. All are welcome. There's no barrier that should be set. Let me give you something else I saw in the lesson this morning. I saw, Sister Gloria, the importance of godly, noble character. And also I saw the importance
of working hard. I saw blessings coming from that. We're going to look at that closer. I saw something else. I saw the importance of acting with integrity when I looked at Boaz. When I looked at Boaz coming to that meeting place at the gate, having those 10 witnesses that were there to hear what he was saying, that to make sure he wasn't doing anything, trying to play the okey-doke on him, on this man. I see all of this, and it lets me know as we interact and we deal with others, we must deal with them, Brother Al, with integrity. I hear something else I see. I see the extent that Boaz went to be Ruth and Naomi, kinsman redeemer. Do you see the extent that Jesus went through to be our kinsman redeemer? Do you see what he went through for us? Do you see him preaching and teaching and doing that which was good and doing that which was right? But yet and still, do you see him, how he was beaten, how he was pierced, how he was spit on, how he was taunted, how he was talked about? He was beaten to the place of the jaw. He was unrecognizable. Notice the extent that Boaz went to be Ruth and Naomi's kinsman redeemer. The extent by saying, he didn't say, I don't want to be involved. He didn't say, well, too bad. He didn't say, well, the property will get over to somebody. He didn't say that. He went through the process. He went through the process of going through and saying, I'm willing to do whatever needs to be. He told Ruth. He said, Ruth, he said, stay here until morning when I will find out if he's willing to look after you. If he isn't, notice what he said, I promise by the living God to do it myself. The extent he was willing, the extent Jesus went through to be our kinsman redeemer, for us to be able to celebrate, for us to be able to come to the Lord's table this morning, the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, the extent he went through to be our kinsman redeemer. Now, notice this. The extent Boaz went to be Ruth and Naomi kinsman redeemer, he was not a brother, you all. He was not the brother of Mahlon, of the deceased husband. He was not the closest guardian. He was not the closest guardian redeemer. But notice the sacrifice. Notice what he was willing to do, pay for the property as well as marry Ruth, the Moabite, the outsider. Here's something else I see in this word this morning. The blessing Boaz received. Did you all notice that? The blessing that Boaz received. He was first, number one, he was included in the genealogy of Jesus. The blessing that he received. Notice what the witnesses said to him, the town leaders. This is what they said. And the others standing there said, we are witnesses to this, and we pray that the Lord will give your wife many children, just as he did Leah and Rachel, the wives of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, when we look at it. Notice this, what they said. May you be rich. May you be a rich man, an important man at Bethlehem. May the children you have by this young woman make your family as famous as the family of Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah. Notice the blessings that came about through what? Doing and walking in obedience. What blessings can we receive? Blessings that we can draw from, the spiritual blessings that come from the heavenly realm. The spiritual blessings for us to carry out the mandate that God has given us, to be able to walk as ambassadors, to know that we are redeemed, the new identity that we have, knowing that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Notice the blessings. Underline it in your Bible. Notice the blessings that the witnesses, they prayed for Boaz. Here's something else, you all. The blessings of the people, the witnesses, as they share with Boaz. Notice something else we see. We see the blessings of the Lord. Go over there. We see, look at verse 13. the blessings of the Lord. Boaz married Ruth, and the Lord blessed her with a son. And after his birth, the women said to Naomi, praise the Lord. Today, God has given you a grandson. And notice this, you all, the blessing that Ruth received, she conceived. She had not had children, you all. She probably had been married to Mahlon more than 10 years. And during that time, she had not conceived. She had not had any children. Notice the blessing that comes to her. And notice not only the blessing of being a Moabite woman, but being the blessing of being in the genealogy, being in the lineage of Jesus. Oh, God can use anybody. Knowing that her child Obed, the grandfather of David. Here's the other thing I want us to see this morning. Look at Naomi. Look at the reversal in her life. See God's love for Naomi. And I want to remind us, he never stopped loving her. She saw herself calling her name Myra, but God never called her Myra. Notice something else about Naomi. Naomi was not left without a guardian redeemer. We see Ruth being credited to Naomi as being better to her than seven sons. We see Naomi, you all, she filled the role of a guardian and caretaker to Obed, her grandson, whose name means worshiper. We see her mourning turning into dancing. What do you see in the lesson this morning? Do you see Jesus, the extent, when we look at this type of a guardian redeemer of Boaz, and see how God uses all sorts of people to bring about his purpose, how he can use anybody he wants to use. What do you see this morning? We see when we go to Luke 3, 23 and 31 through 32, we see Boaz, we see Obed, we see Jesse, we see David there, a part of the lineage, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We see their blessings becoming our blessing. We see Jesus. It says that it talks about Jesus beginning his ministry. It talks about his preaching. Let's go there real quick this morning. Now, Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began what? His ministry. Notice what God did for us. God orchestrated the redemption through the birth of King Jesus. And he did it for us. And what is it that we should do? What am I going to do, Sister Ruby? How am I going to apply this lesson this morning? The first thing is I'm going to thank God for the provision made for me to be a part of the family of God, to be a part of the spiritual family tree. The second thing I'm going to do to apply this lesson is I'm going to introduce the King of Kings to someone who may feel like they are an outsider by society. I'm going to introduce it to someone who may feel like they are a Moabite, that they are a prostitute, that they are a drug dealer, drug user, whatever it is, that they are a gambler, that they are a scammer. I'm going to introduce the King of Kings to someone who may feel like they are an outsider. Here's the third thing I'm going to do, Uncle John. I'm going to be God's redemptive agent, working his plan to reconcile others to Christ. I'm going to get on it by this ministry of reconciliation, telling others that Jesus lives and that Jesus saves. I'm going to be that redemptive agent to the left outs and to the dropouts. My prayer point this morning is going to be this. Lord, my desire this season is to share the good news freely. That's what I'm going to do from this lesson this morning, realizing that as I look at the genealogy of Jesus, looking at it from Matthew 1 through 17, and Luke 3, 23 through 38, when I look at the names that are highlighted there, that are mentioned there, it lets me know that God is inclusive. God don't leave nobody out. That God extends his mercy and he extends his grace to all. That God loves me. And that even when I owe the debt that I owe, and I couldn't pay it, he sent a kinsman redeemer by the name of Jesus. who came down through 42 generations. Yes, his genealogy is distinct. Yes, we see those in there that we would scratch our heads and say, huh, you got to be kidding me. But what did God say to us today? God says, I'm orchestrating this plan. I'm orchestrating a plan of redemption through the birth of King Jesus. Notice the rescue plan, you all. Notice the vessels that God uses to bring about his purpose. So I say to us this morning, let us walk in obedience. Let us not look at one's color of their skin, their ethnic group or their gender or where they come from. Know this, God can use them. God is using you right now. Let us walk in obedience as we see God orchestrating redemption through the birth of King Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Powerful, powerful. I'm just sitting here thinking, Lord, if you can use anything, you can use me. I'm a willing vessel to do thy will. Let me be able to tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there any comment, any words of encouragement to our wonderful, wonderful, great teacher?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Minister Singleton, for your words of encouragement this morning. And I'm taking away this morning that you better be careful who you throw out in the dishwater, because God has ever proven his word to be true, because he extended an invitation to whosoever. And that whosoever includes the Moabites, the idol worshipers. And he keeps proving himself over and over again to us, and we just have to continue to walk in that will that God has. We don't shun anyone, because the invitation was to whosoever. So Ruth became a whosoever. She was a whosoever, but she had a desire to change. And that's why we have to be careful who we turn our backs on. Because just like I had a desire to change, so can the idol worship has a, if we're doing what we're supposed to do, we can lead them to become worshipers of God and become a part of the kingdom. That's what it's all about. So you better be careful how you turn your back on whosoever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mother Cora, because you're right. The word says, the scriptures say that no one who has faith will be disappointed, no matter if that person is a Jew or a Gentile. There's only one Lord, and he is generous to everyone who asks for his help. All who call out to the Lord will be saved. Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Whosoever will, let them come. Whether it be a Moabitess, whether it be an Ammonite, a Hittite, whosoever will, let them come.
Amen.
God bless you. God bless. Dr. Deb, what an awesome teaching today, a powerful lesson, and you gave it to us so wonderfully. I don't think there's many stones left unturned from what you gave us today. Amen. Even the character of Boaz, the character of Ruth, the bitterness of Naomi. We become bitter when things don't quite turn the way we think they should in life to have two sons who married two Moabitess women. We don't know what was going on in the household. They didn't have any children for that period of time. You said approximately 10 years. God had a plan. We don't understand his plans. We don't understand his ways. We don't understand his thoughts. But God is working something out. We're looking at the story in hindsight. They were walking in real life.
Yeah.
And, of course, we can have some understanding to Naomi's feelings. She had to go back home. She felt she was going home in disgrace. Like you said, she didn't know what she had with her.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
She just knew somebody that wanted to cling to her because of who she was and was willing to follow not only her, but her God. And I think the power of that was in her following her God. And I believe, hallelujah, in listening to you give this lesson, things were coming to me, and I won't take too much of our time, Mother Corey and sisters and brothers on the line. But as I was listening, I kind of imagined the how they arrived back with the rest of the Israelites, that they went back to the land. But they had land. They still owned the land.
Yes.
And she was able to live there until she died, regardless of the situation, because it was her family's land. It was
That's
the
right.
land. So they had the land, but there was a tough time. And so what we see is in the growth of Ruth to be diligent in her taking care of her mother-in-law.
Mm.
Boaz was observing.
Mm.
Somebody's always watching us.
Watching.
Is what I got out of that today.
Come on.
Somebody's always watching.
Mm-hmm.
Boaz watched her. He found out who she was, knew that she was a Moabite, but he watched not just her from the outward appearance of who she was, but by the heart that she had and the diligence that she had. He said, not only is she looking good, but she's walking right.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm trying to put myself in the place of a man watching this woman who was a Moabitess, like you said. And when we think about the conflict between them, even how Moab came into the world through an incestual relationship.
That's
Come on,
right.
somebody.
That's right.
But God is going to work something out in time through generations. We don't know what God is doing. We only here for a short period of time. But to see how God worked this out, and just to listen to you talk about the integrity. He was a man of integrity, Boaz, watching a woman who showed herself faithful. And then he said, I'm willing to take you on. Take on this responsibility. Mm. And I love when men get together and there's business going down. He said, I'm going to bring 10.
Yes.
I got 10 brothers going to watch what we're getting ready to talk about. So let's see what you got. So you the closest, Kim. I like that. I wish they didn't tell us. God didn't tell us who he was on purpose because he didn't want us to have no problem with him. He said that, I know I'm the closest, Kim. I want the land, but I don't want her.
That's right.
Damn, you hit me with that one. I said, Dr. Dave, that's hard right there.
Yeah.
I want the land, but I don't want her.
That's right.
I don't even know her, but I don't want her because she's a Moabitess.
That's right.
How many times people judge people by who they feel that they are.
But
not who God says that they are.
Come on.
Isn't that something? And he watched it. And the concept, I'm talking about this Levirate law.
Yeah.
That was in the law, even in the law of the Mosaic law, but it was before then
That's
this came about.
That's right.
Back during the time, we know at least back to Judah.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. It was
yeah.
back during Judah's time that this thing came about.
That's
because
right.
he had three sons, Erech,
right.
Onan, and Selah. And
that's
we see
right.
another person in the lineage of Jesus by the name of Tamar.
Tamar.
Mm. Came the harlot.
Amen.
And Judah slept with his daughter-in-law, when not knowing that she had played the harlot. God does some things we cannot understand in our natural mind.
Come on,
so
come on.
You worked this thing, Dr. Dad. That thing, you was talking through that thing and other stuff was hitting me. You know, you think you know a little bit. I know a little bit. But then you start talking about the mother. Oh, wait a minute. So this was something that he knew about as a kinsman redeemer. And I think it's so beautiful, the integrity that he has. Say, listen, I may want to do this, but we got to do this right. Isn't it better
come
to do
man.
It the right way than to try
the
to
right
skip
way.
Ahead and try
the
to
right
try
way.
To cheat the situation? Just do it the
come
right
on.
Way. And God blessed that. Blessed everybody through this man, boy. But let's talk about Jesus. I'm going to get out of the way because I don't want to, cause it's so I got so many thoughts it's going through my head. But let's get back to Jesus being the kinsman redeemer. I got to thinking about this thing, brothers and sisters on the line. You know, in the case of the story that we have characters involved. We have land. We have purchase. When I start thinking about Jesus, what's the land? The land is eternity.
Yes.
I said, wait a minute. So who's he purchasing? The believers that
come
become the body of Christ, that become the church, that become his bride. He's purchasing his bride to be. I said, wait a minute. I'm just coming to me. I'm just talking now. I don't know if I'm right. Y'all fixing it if I get it lost a little bit. But he had to purchase it. And he told his father, I'll go. I'll buy him. I'll purchase him. And I'm going to go into a body like they body. And
yeah.
I'm going to shed the blood to die for them. So I'm going to purchase him with my precious blood.
Yes, that's the word.
I'm going to purchase him. Come on. And I'm going to buy them.
Washington.
Now that they can produce offspring that's fitted for the kingdom of God, for my
yes.
kingdom. So what we are doing when we are doing Matthew 28, we are carrying out the commission, but we also helping to produce the lineage of the kingdom.
Come
right
on now,
on
the lineage. Yes, sir.
Come on. We are producing those that are following Christ, those that be in Christ become part of the body, and we're increasing the kingdom right here on earth. So we have a mighty mission to do. We got a lot to do here while we're here. But I just thank God for it. I'm going to stop right there because I didn't want to go too far, but I'm telling this thing was powerful, Dr. Deb. Thank you so much for this word today. Thank you so much. I know the lesson is standard in some sense, but you walked through this thing. And so I just thank God. No, Brother John's on the line, and all the saints is on the line. If anybody else has any other comments, I now back off and digress, and I just thank God. I'm giving him praise for Boaz. Boaz's name means strength.
Strength.
Well, you know, Brother Pastor, Naomi didn't give no credit to herself. But she had to do a powerful job to change her daughter-in-law's mind. So
yes.
she had to be standing tall for God.
Yes. She was praying to him every day.
No doubt
Ruth saw her life. Her
that's
character.
Right. That's right.
Yes. That she was some kind of woman. We just, you know,
that,
she just felt
know,
bad. She, you know, go ahead.
When you think you're not doing anything, if you're doing what's right, that's what you're doing.
And somebody's always watching.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
her daughter-in-laws were watching her.
That's right. They learned. And it was powerful enough to encourage her that I want some of this.
That's
yes.
It.
It's something about you, Naomi, and your God that I
That's
want
right.
to know her and follow him. Come on.
That mine, this
yes.
thing I'm with, it ain't working.
Okay. I don't know about
no
these.
Power
Lord,
in this. No power in this. I see power. I see blessings. I see growth in what you're doing. But what I'm doing, I'm just staying behind. So I
you know,
want to make a change.
And Mother Corey, could have been the fact that she was watching her through her trials.
Right.
Lord,
that's, it. That's what I'm saying.
Come on.
Nothing turning out.
She lost the fruit of her womb, her son.
All right.
But I never heard anything about where she complained. It might have hurt. So her daughter-in-law was watching her.
That's right, watching
right
it
now.
All.
Yes,
not
indeed.
Only one son, but two sons and a husband.
Yes.
And what is holding her up? What is she standing on?
She's standing on the Lord. She's standing
the
on her
promises
trust in the
of
Lord.
God.
That's right. She wasn't leaning to her own understanding. Come
Amen.
On.
Amen.
Yes,
I'm finished.
Corey.
Go ahead.
No, ma'am. I'm trying to back off. Amen.
God
be the glory.
Be the glory.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Deb?
Yeah, but all the comments, you know, when we look at it, and like you were saying, you and Mother Cora, was that Ruth saw her mother-in-law, and as you say, saw her go through adversity, saw her go through trials and loss, going to the grave, going to the cemetery. She saw her. And as you said, Mother Cora, it wasn't working what she had. Them pagan gods. Them stones and them rocks and that piece of wood she had. Because, you know, it wasn't working because she said it. She said, please don't tell me to leave you and return home. I'm not going back there.
Right.
I will go where you go. I will live where you live. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. What she's saying is, I'm going to live by the principles. I'm going to live by the principles of your God.
Amen.
Because I have seen, and Ruth started getting this too. I've seen enough to know that I want to live by the principles of your God. I want to live in the place, in the word where you live in. I want to be, not only this, look, I'm willing to die where you die at. I'm willing to be buried where you buried it. And then this is the part that got, may the Lord punish me if we are ever separated, even by death. Commitment went beyond the commitment to Naomi, her love for Naomi, but her love for the God that Naomi was connected with. And then Ruth, the other thing was, Ruth, as you all said, when you look at the characteristics of Ruth, her willingness to hear what her mother-in-law had to say. Keep in mind, you all, Ruth was a young woman. Naomi was an old woman. Because, as a matter of fact, Naomi said, look now, even if I got married today and had some babies, and she was an old woman. Think about our society today. A lot of times, young women don't want to hear nothing we mature women have to say. Listen, this is a good lesson this morning. It teaches us some principles here that Naomi was living a kingdom life. She was an ambassador for God. She was a representative for God. And she was able to influence Ruth. Ruth took what she don't see that Naomi planted, and she said, wait a minute, I'm going to listen to what this lady got to say, because I've already seen what God had already done in her life. I've already seen this. So I'm going to listen to this older, mature woman who was a representative of God.
Yeah.
And notice that when she listened, she followed what Naomi told her to do.
Amen.
She went and got herself dressed up. She went and did all them things she needed to do. She was a hard worker. She wasn't. This is another point for those of us who hear this recording later on and can share it with someone else. We as young women cannot be lazy women.
Mm.
You know, young women, we have too many girls that want a Boaz for their husband. Now, y'all know y'all done heard it. Y'all, I done heard girls tell me, I'm waiting on my Boaz. Really? But you're not willing to work? You're not willing to get up and do anything? But you're waiting for God to send you this man of integrity, send you this man of, but what are we willing to do? This lesson speaks to, goes even deeper to us as kingdom citizens, kingdom women and men of integrity, willing to work, willing to serve, willing to do what God has called us to do.
Yeah,
and then Naomi talks to Ruth. She tells us what to do. Tell her what to do. She go on, Ruth, do it. She takes that bath. She puts on that perfume. She puts on her best clothes.
Go ahead.
Go on, Mother Cora.
No, go ahead.
We have women of integrity, women who are born again, women who walk with God, who walk in obedience with God, who walk in the Spirit, who walk aligned to the Constitution, and they are mentors to us. Mother Cora, Mother Nia, others, Uncle John, mentors to young men and young women, Pastor Reggie, mentors. Showing us how to live these lives, how to walk in integrity. When you get in trouble, here's what you need to do. Here's when you're dealing with situations, don't try to cover up. Don't try to undermine anybody. We have to listen to women of integrity, women who are walking in the Word, women who are aligning their lives to the Word of God. This lesson teaches me that too.
Amen.
It teaches me. It teaches me that God has placed women in our lives. Men have been placed in the lives of young boys, young men, to help them how to walk, how to care for something that it's like, you know, a man marrying a woman who has children, caring for them, loving them. Willingness to make sacrifices for them. Willingness to be a man of humility, a man of compassion, a man that cares, and still pointing me to Jesus. Boaz, you all, points me to Jesus. He's a type of a kinsman redeemer. Naomi points me to women of integrity and how what God will do. Even though we go through our sadness, even though we go through those places like Naomi did, notice what happens. Notice how God keeps showing me, I haven't left you. I'm still with you. So it's something to see how God, as you all said, and I love what you said, Mother Cora, God can use anybody. We got to be careful who we push to the side so that God can't use them. Look what they've been through. Look how they look. Look where they come from. Look at they came from on the side of the track. All this lesson points us this morning that God is inclusive, that God loves all people, and he wants all to be saved. And he's not looking at the outside appearance, but the heart of the person. Amen. Mother Cora, go on. Go on,
dear. Oh, no, I was just going to say that Ruth was walking on in faith because Naomi hadn't promised her nothing, that I got all the stuff back there at home. And because Ruth, Naomi thought she didn't have nothing left.
Come on now. That's it.
So this girl had, she had already received faith that Naomi's God was going to take care of them.
Come on.
Amen. And I want to tell you ladies that she left her family. She left everything.
Right. She left everything. Already, you know. blindness. She walking out of darkness because she saw a light shining. It was a bright light shining. She walking toward God.
Yes.
But and that's what that light will do. If we allow the light to shine in us, that somebody else can see it.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to have a pastor friend. They used to talk about faith. He said, I'm going to step out on blind, naked faith.
That's what it is.
With it. Ain't nothing with it but faith. Come
that's
on.
That's all. That's it.
Yes, indeed.
No promises, no promises, no promise
no
that
promise.
It's going to be good when we get there. Not
Come
even
on.
Knowing.
Amen.
But see, that's why God tell us to set up these things for our children and our grandchildren and inheritance. Somebody be there to take care of it.
Look, I don't want to push y'all too much, but I'm going to say this. Two things I want to say about Ruth, because, you know, they say it's going to keep coming because it's alive. The word
amen,
is alive.
Amen, amen.
Ruth's name means mercy, pity, or compassion.
Oh.
So even in her walk with her mother-in-law, it also means friend, a compassionate friend. So she had all these qualities, all the things that Dr. Dev covered today. But last thing I want to say about Ruth, and I'm going to be quiet. Because I heard Dr. Dale when she was teaching the thing, I don't know if I ever caught that before, that it said that Ruth was better than seven sons.
Yeah, I heard that's true. It's true.
That came back to me when you were talking about if the sisters out there, women out there saying they're looking for a Boaz. Well, Boaz found her. She didn't find Boaz. At first, let's get that straight. They waiting on the, you said they waiting on their Boaz. The question you ask is, what are they doing while they're waiting?
No, while they're waiting. Sitting, you're not supposed to sit still.
Come That's
on,
right. Keep he working. Gotta, he got to see you. He got to see
working.
You.
Keep working.
Seven sons? She didn't say better than a son, son-in-law. Better than a son. Seven sons.
Amen. So
okay, I don't
was,
know what that means to y'all. It got to mean something to you. Seven
she was powerful.
Sons.
She was completing her work.
That was a working sister. She was out
That's
there working.
That's right. She was season. Doing her work. Powerful.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
I,
you can see
I
so much.
I'll let the women, the mature women talk to the younger women. I'm going to stay out of that. The Bible said let y'all talk to them. I'm done. Amen.
Praise God.
But when you go back, Pastor Reggie, verse 15 in chapter 4, he will make you happy and take care of you in your old age.
Amen.
He is the son of your daughter-in-law. Mm. And she loves you more than seven sons of your own would love you.
Mm.
Love. True
that's
love.
That's some powerful love.
That's
true
love.
True love.
That's
then
powerful.
One, think about just one. But think about seven. That means I'm willing to carry
Complete.
The load, not only for you,
Completion.
But I'm willing to carry the load. Whatever it is, whatever we have to do, I'm willing. Think about, like you say, seven sons.
Mm-hmm. You don't need for
to
nothing.
To have that kind of love, he says, and she loves you more than seven sons.
Right.
Of your own would love you.
I'm going on mute.
I'm done. I'm done. Dr. Dev, I'm done. Amen. Glory be to God.
Love. Amen. I don't know. Did Sister Wanda try to get in? Somebody tried to say something this morning. Anybody else before we
Please,
go over to Uncle John?
Amen. 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 Did we lose Dr. Dale? Dr. Deb?
Hello?
Sister Ruby, can you hear me, Sister Ruby?
Yeah, that's wondering what happened to everybody.
That might be Dr. Deb.
It is. Pastor Reggie, it lets me know that we need to go over to Uncle John this morning. Uncle John.
Amen.
Hit the wrong button this morning. Good morning. Uncle John.
Good morning, Church. How are you?
We're doing well, sir. Doing well. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We're going to keep celebrating.
Yeah, you really took us over it this morning. I truly enjoyed it. Enjoyed you, Mother Curry, Pastor Kuiper, all the others who was on the line this morning. This is a wonderful lesson. And you drawed it out real well. Our opening scripture this morning was Minister Deborah. Sister Ruby, our morning prayer, thank you. And our reading of the scripture, Sister Wanda, thank you. Brother Al, praise and worship for the Lord on my side. I wonder what would I be. But let's look at some of the story of Ruth, because it's a very long story and got a lot of meaning in it. So I just drawn out a few. Let's read verse 16 and 17. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbor, gave it a name, saying, this is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We want to talk this morning, a mother who gave us a son. A mother who gave us a son. Naomi had been through some hard times. At first she was married to Elimelech. They had two grown sons, Chilion and Mahlon. But if a famine rose in the land of Judah, so they went to the land of the country of Moab. He and his wife and their two sons. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. And they took them wives of the women's of Moab. The name of one was Oprah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there for about 10 years. Balaam and Chilion died, both of them. Your name must have been thinking, I've lost everything I got to lose. I think I'll go back home. Now, like the prodigal son, when he had lost everything he had to lose, he said, I think I'll go back home. When she turned to go back home, her daughter-in-law wanted to come with her. But she entreated them to go back to their homeland. But not Ruth. But Naomi tried to encourage them to go home and said, I'm too old to give you any more sons for a husband. If I could, you couldn't wait for them. But Ruth still wouldn't go back. She said, where you go, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Lest death do us apart. When it's love, let death do us apart. So Ruth came with her. Naomi had entreated that she couldn't get, that she could have an inheritance she couldn't get unless a marriage took place. It wasn't proper for a woman to own land in those days. But she had Ruth. But Boaz married Ruth, Naomi's kinfolk. Boaz was a relative, Imelech, her husband. Boaz and Ruth had a son and gave his name was Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David, part of the 42 generation in which Christ was to come. So she gave us a son. God gave his son, Jesus Christ, that was to come. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was...
Amen, amen, amen. Uncle John, thank you so much for bringing in the prodigal son this morning. Oh, what an addition to bring in to see both Naomi as well as him in that light of going back home and so much, so many other nuggets that we can get from that. I've never thought about the prodigal son and looking at Naomi and both of them going back home and the conditions in which they went under. What an awesome sharing this morning. Thank you so much. And we continue to pray for your healing as well. We will continue to pray for your healing. We know that you are healed. To see the manifestation of it, we continue to lift you in our prayers because we are standing on Isaiah 53:4-5. Amen. Thank you so much. Are there any other comments, last-minute comments this morning? We don't want to miss anyone. This is an awesome word today as we look at so many. There are so many nuggets we get as we look at kingdom principles from this lesson, as we look at citizens of the kingdom and seeing the kingdom and seeing what we have to do in 2024. Pastor Reggie, I've already started looking at how I'm going to share with others, starting with day one. Today is day one for me, and sharing with others, you know, the biggest thing people talk about is the birth of Jesus, Christmas trees, ointments and decorations and all those things. But my intent is through this whole season is every day being in position to share the message of Christ, share the good news, share the very message that Jesus preached. And we can see that in the word in Luke 4:43, as he preached the good news and as the reason why he came and being able to share that with others. So day one, I'm starting, and each day I'm asking you all to keep me accountable every day. That's the best gift that we can give anyone at Christmas. The best gift is to give them the gift of Jesus Christ, your willingness to share Christ with them and those that know him, the willingness to encourage them even to more, to draw closer to the Lord by sharing a scripture with them and sharing what that scripture means and giving them two or three nuggets that they can chew on each day. So that's my commitment to give the best gift that I can give during this time of Advent, during this time approaching Christmas, is to share. The King has come.
The king has come, and our job as kingdom citizens is to spread the good news. And what better present you can give anyone is just this. Because when you give them Jesus, they are unwrapping a present every day throughout the day. Amen. Thank you again for all of you for joining with us this morning at the Gathering Place Beyond the Walls. We want to mark your calendar. Please go ahead and mark your calendar for the fifth Sunday in this month, the fifth Sunday. That is the Sunday we are going to designate where we do our outreach ministry. If everything is in place, our heaters are in place, Mother Cora, Uncle John, we will be downtown the fifth Sunday in December if the Lord allows us to get there. The fifth Sunday in December, that's where we will be. We were able to get everybody linked in the last time. We plan on doing that this time as well. So I just want you to give you an early notification of that. We are installing heaters as well that will be in place to be able to provide us the heat that we need to be able to have our service in the pavilion. So mark your calendar, the fifth Sunday in December. We will be linked in again as we were the last fifth Sunday that we had this year. And I'm just praising God and thanking God, you all, for how far he has brought us and how he continues to keep us. So we're going to prepare now for the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask, please, if Brother Al. Brother Al, you're still on this morning?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen. I'm going to ask if you would please sing for us. Pastor Reggie, if you would come back and close us out in prayer. Brother Al, if you would sing for us, and we are going to prepare take the Lord's Supper this morning. And certainly let us continue to reminisce on this word. But most of all, remember this, God is inclusive. And if God is inclusive, then I must be. I must not look at one social class. I must not look at one ethnic group. I must not look at one's gender. I must share the kingdom of God with all, knowing that we have a kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus. And he came, as Uncle John said, down through 42 generations. And what did he do for us? He gave us his life as a ransom. He reigned as king. He came to seek and save those that were lost. And this was put in place before the foundation of the world. Be a vessel. Every one of us on this line this morning, be a vessel that God can use to tell others the king has come. Amen. Brother, Pastor Reg, if you would please close us in prayer, and Brother Al will open us in song.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Father, for this opportunity to be on this line, sharing with believers, saints of God, coming on the line to give you praise, to give you glory, and to honor your holy name. Father, we surely thank you for all that has taken place so far in our fellowship with one another. We thank you for the prayers that have gone forth. We thank you for the scripture reading, the word that has gone forth. Father, we thank you for the praise songs that have gone forth. So we ask that you have received our praise, you have received what we have spoken about the word. Father, we thank you for our messenger today as she has shared with us this word today. We thank you for the characters of the lesson. We thank you for hearing about people who are people of integrity, whether it be Boaz, Ruth, Naomi, all that were shown to us. And, Father, we thank you, Father, for Uncle John, as he gave us a culmination of a mother who gave us a son. And we know that that son, as we come down through 42 generations, is a nothing but our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, as we move into this time of the year where we celebrate, we want to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And, Father, we just thank you for that. And, Father, at this time, Father, as we move forward, we move into a time of consecration, Lord God, as we look forward to partake of communion, Father, where we commune with you through Holy Spirit. Thank you. We invite the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and to move in a mighty way right now as we partake of these elements. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the bread and the wine, the symbolization of the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our kinsman redeemer. Father, we thank you for the redemption power of the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the cross at Calvary. We thank you, Lord God, for a resurrected Savior. We thank you, Lord, for eternal life. And, Father, we look forward to the future, Father, when our Lord comes back to receive us. We want to be part of that bride without spot or wrinkle. We want to be pure and holy before our Lord. So, Father, thank you. Bless us and purify and sanctify us as we go forward now into a time of fellowship and communion with you. I ask it in the mighty name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Al, if you would come with songs of praise.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. They whipped him all night long. They whipped him all night long. They whipped him all night long for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his side for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word. He never said a mumbling word for me. In one day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died. He hung his head and died for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. He's coming back again. Oh, yes. He's coming back again. Oh, yes. He's coming back again for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. I know it was the blood.
Yes.
I know. Was the blood?
Yes.
I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. For me. Amen.
Thank you so much, Brother Al, and thank you, Pastor Reggie, for our opening prayer this morning. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we come to the table this morning, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26 reads, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This morning, as we come to the table, we are reminded this morning that the host of this table is not us, but this table is hosted by Jesus himself. We are invited to this table by his grace. We who sin against him and dishonor him are welcome to this table. What a privilege we have this morning. As we come to this table, we come remembering the finished works of Jesus there at Calvary. We also have an expression of relationship when we come to this table, a relationship of harmony and oneness of mind and love and values and commitment and vision that should exist in the body of Christ, kingdom citizens, a community of believers. Yes, when we come to the table this morning, we know that it is an act of faith. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the cross, but it also looks forward to the crown, forward to his return. Our hope is in his return. When Jesus left the table, he went out to die for us there at Calvary. This morning, as we take the bread is a symbol of his body.
The bread is a symbol of Jesus going to the cross in our place, paying the debt that we owed that we could not pay. Let us eat. What an awesome sacrifice that he made for each of us. When we take the fruit of the vine, it reminds us of the shed blood for the remission of our sins. Let us drink. This morning, as we fellowship together, as we take the elements, as we demonstrated our common faith and our commitment and our love and our devotion to Christ and the ministry and the life to which he has called us to, let us keep in mind Matthew 28:19-20, which is our commission as kingdom citizens, as ambassadors, as representatives of Christ Jesus. It reads, "Go out and make disciples in all the nations, ceremonially washing them through baptism in the name of the triune God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Then disciple them, form them in the practices and postures that I have taught you, and show them how to follow the commands I have laid down for you. And I will be with you day after day to the end of the age." We, as disciples of Christ, we have an assignment. We have been commissioned in the army of the Lord. Let us go. Let us make disciples. Let us baptize them in the word of God. Let us disciple them, and let us teach them, and let us be an example by showing them just how to follow the commands that God has given to us. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, you know, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, you know, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, you know, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, I'm gonna let it shine. This morning, let us stay on mission. Let us continue to let our light shine based on Matthew 5:16 this morning. As we go, let your light shine that others, that's what the word says, that others, I'm right there, 5:16, make your light shine so that others will see the good that you do and will praise your Father in heaven. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. Let us all say amen, and let amen. Us let our little light shine that the Lord has given to us so that others will see Jesus and cry out, Brother Al, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Missington. Missington.
Yes, my dear.
I'm here.
Are you?
I'm going to go home today.
I will be by to see you.
Tell her okay. We're going to leave. Tell her we're supposed to leave by 1.
I'm supposed to leave by 1.
Okay. All right, then. We're going to talk, okay?
Okay.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello. Cut it off.